Dr. David Shulkin appeared before the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee for confirmation as VA's Undersecretary for Health after a long career as a hospital administrator in the private sector and after having trained as a physician in VA hospitals early in his career. He said watching the waitlist scandal unfold from the outside persuaded him that he could and should try to help create what he promised senators would be a new VA.
The VA needs change. The VA needs more doctors, more nurses, and greater efficiency from its current systems. It needs to advance its culture of accountability and eliminate those from the system that have lost their commitment for doing what's right for our veterans. Progress is being made, but there is still much work to be done. While recognizing the extraordinary work that occurs in the VA every day, the time has come to create the VA system of the future, a system that has superior access and the highest standards for quality and quality of caring.
If confirmed, Shulkin said his first task would be to make sure VA follows through on its promises to solve the problems its patients face with timely access to health care. Congress passed legislation last year granting the department authority and funding to hire more physicians, build more facilities, and contract with private sector providers to treat veterans while VA builds its own capacity.
This is what I've been doing throughout my career. This is operations. This is being able to expand capacity, being able to use weekend and evening hours, being able to look at the issues. We have 11% no-shows in the VA, and I know how to deal with those issues. So I think we can continue to make progress. Progress is being made, but we can continue to accelerate that.
But Shulkin indicated that his view of the future of VA medicine includes an ongoing use of private sector care for veterans, not just a temporary measure to fill current gaps in VA's ability to care for its patients on a timely basis. He said the department offers specialty care that cannot be matched anywhere else in the world, but for many routine medical functions, its medical facilities don't necessarily have to serve as a one-stop shop.
I think if you put the central mission of caring for veterans in the forefront, you come up with an answer that says that the care that's provided within the VA system is extraordinary in many areas. We're doing work in the VA system that can't be replicated in the private sector. But I think what we've learned is it's not yet a complete system. And so in order to give the veterans the care that they need, I believe you have to take the best of what's in VA, which is considerable, but supplement it with the best that's in the private sector that can't be replicated in the VA. And that's the way together you look at a new VA healthcare system. It's really a transformed system where the role becomes the coordination of care, because we can't do it without the private sector right now. And so I really see that this is a different approach, this is a different time, and I would really endorse a VA that really looks at focusing first on the veterans' priorities.
The Veterans Choice Access and Accountability Act gave the department $10 billion to pay for non-VA care over the next 3 years. The implementation of the law has been complicated by one provision that said veterans living more than 40 miles from a VA facility are entitled to see a private provider at government expense. The department's initial read of that law interpreted the 40-mile limitation to mean as the crow flies, a problem in many parts of the country where roads don't necessarily run in straight lines from a veteran's house to the nearest VA hospital. Shulkin said he supported VA's most recent decision to change the 40-mile limit to match up with roadmaps.
And I do think, again, watching this from the outside at where I sit today, I think the VA took the right steps in making the adjustments from the 40-mile change from the crow fly to how you drive. I know the people who work in VA want to see veterans get the right care and get it in their communities. And I am committed to doing that. I do know that if we make changes that the Office of Management and Budget have estimated huge tens of billions of dollars changes. So I do, my role, if I am confirmed, would be to put the veterans' healthcare front and center, but to do it in a way that evaluates all the options to use this country's resources to the very best way possible. And that's the commitment that I would do if I were confirmed.
Shulkin said he'd also prioritize the problems of veteran suicide and ensuring that VA's medical workforce is sized and trained to meet its mission. On suicide, he noted that the department's programs are actually working. The problems mostly surround outreach and capacity.
One of the things that's going well within VA are the effective tools like our crisis intervention centers, like our counseling centers, our adjustment centers that are out there. But if we're not connecting with people, if we're not getting them into VA, then that's what I think our highest risk veterans are, particularly for mental health disorders. So I think that, as we've talked about today, we have to focus on getting the right number of individuals who are mental health professionals into the system, making sure that we identify those that are at highest risk, and we're not doing that early enough, and making sure that our treatments are effective. And I think one of the things about VA is using our research in this area and then putting it into clinical action.
He said the department also must do a better job of recruiting and retaining medical personnel, a challenge for any healthcare organization, given nationwide shortages in many clinical professions. But he noted that, like himself, many of the country's doctors already start their careers in the VA health system.
VA is blessed by training 70% of all doctors, so they come through our doors. If they see an environment is one that puts patients first and cares about the people who work there, they're going to want to stay there. So I think we have to fix our own internal house first. But I think the best practices from the private sector, loan repayment, I know the Choice Act has essentially helped to address some of that. We have to have competitive pay. I know that we're working on that. We have to be out there working with private outsourcing techniques. We have to have recruitment bonuses. We have to do the things that are going to make us competitive to get the very best people to want to work at the VA.
Senators also pressed Shulkin for assurances that he would protect government employees who come forward to report problems within the department. He acknowledged that he has no experience running a public sector organization and that he's never taken on a challenge as large as running the VHA, but asserted that much of what he learned in the private sector is transferable to the new job.
If you're not having people on the front line feeling comfortable to report errors and near misses, we've learned this from the airline industry, that you're never going to get better as an organization. So part of the job of a leader is to set the culture, and the culture has to be the one where people feel not only comfortable but also responsible for raising issues that are hurting the organization, in this case hurting our ability to care for veterans. So it's not only protecting whistleblowers, which I think is absolutely vital and key and I'd be committed to, but it's creating a culture where people feel that they should and they must speak up when they see something wrong. And that's something that I've done all my career, I've supported all my career, and I would continue to do if I were confirmed.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.